Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a shame. And every shame is in the hellfire. Tonight, inshallah, continuing with Kitab al-Isti'adha by Imam al-Nasa'i, the book of seeking Allah's protection or seeking refuge and Allah, we come to the chapter Bab al-Isti'adhatu min al-Faqr, chapter seeking refuge in Allah from poverty or seeking Allah's protection from being poor. But before we begin with the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I want to mention something where we left off last week, a question, but we're going to read the ayah from Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 77, before we continue from last week. And that is, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَبَتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبَغِي الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse as an answer or a reflection on the question that we had last week, which was, this question is about riba or usury or interest. How can a Muslim purchase a house without paying interest? If we cannot make major purchases without committing the riba, then it seems that the Islamic community should have a way for Muslims to have these things. What should you do if you want to purchase a house but you don't want to commit riba? We had dealt with this last week, and I had wanted to mention this ayah that I had begun tonight's class off with to show that we understand what's going on here, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and desire with that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given you out of wealth, the home of the hereafter. And don't forget your portion of this world. And do good as Allah has been good to you, and do not desire to commit corruption in the earth. Indeed, Allah does not love those who make corruption in the land. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to use our wealth to get us to the hereafter, and seek by which that which Allah has blessed you with, the home of the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth. Walhamdulillah, Aziz Khair al-Raziqeen, the best of the providers, and he has given us this wealth to use it to guarantee us a place in the hereafter called Al-Jannah. This wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with is to get us to the hereafter, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And then Allah goes on and says, don't forget your portion of this wealth. It's permissible for a person to buy nice clothing, a nice place to live, a nice car to drive in, to be generous to his wife, to his children, to his neighbors, to his guests. This is all permissible in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, don't forget your share of this. To use your wealth to benefit yourself. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it clear that the first thing we should be using our wealth is to benefit us in the hereafter, as our only purpose in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he tells us, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship. After we take care of the hereafter, after we use our wealth for the Muslim schools, after we use our wealth for the houses of Allah, the Masjid, after we use our wealth for the needy, after we use our wealth for the orphans, after we use our wealth for those people going to fight jihad, after we use our wealth in a manner that would benefit us and guarantee us a home in the hereafter, then we don't forget our share of this world. and be good as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and be good as Allah was good to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been generous to each and every one of us, and as Allah has been good to us, we should be good to others. We should be good personally to ourselves, to take care of ourselves, inshallah ta'ala, our wives, our children, our neighbors, our guests, and onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been good to us, and we should be good to others. And don't desire corruption in the land. And don't desire corruption in the land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his book, the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 279 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah tells us in 278-279, يَا أَيَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, fear Allah and give up that which remains of riba, of interest, of usury, if you are believers. And if you don't, then this is a warning of war from Allah and His Messenger. And if you repent, then you have the original money that you put down. You aren't being oppressed, nor should you oppress others. Don't oppress others, and nor will you be oppressed. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, showing us that this riba or this usury is that which would guarantee us the warning of war from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is corruption in the land, to be waging war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by indulging in this riba or this usury. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ending this verse off, and don't desire corruption in the land. Allah has given you your money to use it in a halal manner. Don't use your money in the haram by indulging in the riba, by indulging, buying haram food, haram clothing. I'm trying to say food and clothing at the same time. Haram clothing, haram food, haram music, and onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having given us our wealth to spend it on the haram to cause corruption in Allah's earth, because Allah doesn't love those people who spread corruption. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse will summarize this issue of wealth for us, so that the people can understand when someone tells them, don't buy a car on riba, don't buy a house on riba. Nobody's telling them don't enjoy some of the pleasures of this world. Nobody's telling someone don't enjoy the pleasures of this world. What we're telling you is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. Desire the home of the hereafter with that wealth that Allah has given you. And then don't forget your share of this world, and be good as Allah has been good to you. Be good to others as Allah has been good to you. And don't desire corruption in the land by using your money in the haram. Indeed, Allah does not love the mufsidin. And this was just a reminder from that question that we had last week, so that we can see when we should refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that which our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that nobody is being ignorant or stupid or not aware of what's going on or trying to deny someone is right in this world. Enjoy whatever you could out of this world so long as it's halal. And stay away from the haram. And be kind and generous to others as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind and generous to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to seek refuge in Allah from poverty. As we see from the hadith of Ibn Abi Bakra, أنه كان سمع والده يقول في دبر الصلاة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكفر والفقر وعذاب القبر. فجعلت أدعو بهن فقال يا بني أنا علمت هؤلاء الكلمات. قلت يا أبتي سمعتك تدعو بهن في دبر الصلاة فخصتهن عنك. قال فالزمها يا بني فإن نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو بهن في دبر الصلاة. ابن أبي بكر رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله, he said that I heard my father saying at the end of the salat, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqri wa'adhab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from kufr, from poverty, and from the punishment of the grave. So I began saying these words. And then my father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, O my son, where have you learned these words from? He said, O my father, I heard you say these at the end of the salah, meaning after the salah was over, after the tasleem. So I began to repeat and to say that which I heard you say. He said, I command you to hold fast to those words because, O my son, I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make this dua with these words at the end of the salah. So here Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has said that which his son Ibn Abi Bakr had learned from him, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqri wa'adhab al-qabr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqri wa'adhab al-qabr. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from kufr, from poverty, and from the punishment of the grave. The ulama of Islam, they say in relationship to this hadith, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from kufr, from all of the types of kufr. As we know that the word kufr has two possible meanings in Arabic. One, kufr meaning disbelief, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and the other kufr is being ungrateful. And that we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being among the disbelievers, and we also seek refuge in Allah, and this would seem more appropriate with the rest of the hadith, we seek refuge in Allah from being ungrateful and from being poor. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us what He has given us with, then we seek refuge in Allah from being ungrateful of what Allah has given us with, and complaining as if we're the poorest people living on the earth. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being poor. But that type of poor, being poor, or that type of poverty is the poverty of the heart, where you're in a state that you feel so poor that it makes you ungrateful for what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has blessed you with. No matter what you get, you feel yourself to be poor, as you're always looking at the next person and what he got and what he has. When you look at the brother, you say, man, that brother has a Mercedes-Benz, man. How you doing? I say, oh, I'm poor, man. I'm just struggling. I need some money. My times are hard. And he's always constantly complaining, and he's always mentioning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the other people with. This type of poverty, to feel that you're poor, to feel that you're in need for this type of ungratefulness, this is the type of poverty that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is mentioning, inshaAllah, in this hadith, and Allah knows best. The next chapter is Bab al-Isti'aza min al-Dhulli, or the chapter of seeking Allah's protection from being humiliated, or in a state of humiliation, or lowly, or debased, or whatever. And this is from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر وأعوذ بك من القلة والذلة وأعوذ بك أن أظلم أو أظلم. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being poor or from poverty, and I seek refuge in you from not having much and being humiliated, and I seek refuge in you from oppressing others and having others to oppress me. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wa a'udhu bika min al-qillati wa dhilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wa a'udhu bika min al-qillati wa dhilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlama. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from poverty, and you mentioned that, and I seek refuge in you from having little and from being humiliated. From having little, and the first thing that comes to our mind is having a little bit of wealth. But we know from the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when it came to wealth or possessions of worldly possessions, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had none of this. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a little when it came to the worldly wealth. And that what is meant by little, having little, is having little, a little righteousness, or having a little bit of good character, or having a little bit of patience, or having a little bit of friends that would help you to practice Islam. This is what we're seeking refuge from. We're seeking refuge from having a little of those good qualities that a person could have, like good character and patience and firmness on the deen and righteousness and courage and being grateful and thankful. That we seek refuge in Allah from having a little of these good characteristics or these qualities. And we seek refuge in Allah from being humiliated, from being in the state of humiliation. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has definitely placed us, the believers, in a state of humiliation as we live in this land of the disbelievers, and that their law governs us. Even if it's against Islam, this law will govern us, and we have been put in this state of humiliation because we have left our deen. We don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we ought to be worshipped, and we don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we ought to be believed in. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this state of humiliation. And it's not just for us to make the dua on our tongues, Oh Allah, we seek refuge in you from being in a state of humiliation. But we have to begin to act in accordance with our dua by trying to practice this deen of Islam so that we can remove ourselves from this state of humiliation and lowliness and the eyesight of the kuffar. And whoever wants to see the type of humiliation that the believers go through, just take a look at some of the courthouses and how the judge handles the Muslims and how he abuses the Muslims and treats the Muslims unkind and unfair, because he can do whatever he wants because that Muslim is in a state of humiliation. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove from us this state of humiliation and to return us back to our deen. So this is the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wa a'udhu bika min al-qillati wa dhilla wa a'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlima. Oh Allah, indeed I seek refuge in you from poverty, and I seek refuge in you from having little and from humiliation, and I seek refuge in you from oppressing others and from having others oppress me. And most of us, and this is from the comprehensive dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of us would love the part of the dua, or to have this part of our dua answered, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and we seek refuge in you, O Allah, from being oppressed, So the Messenger of Allah also made the dua of oppressing others, that all of us, we have the ability to oppress others with our unkind character, and that we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being among the people who oppress the other people, and not just to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from having the other people oppress us, but from us oppressing others. I think as they say, your worst, you are your own worst enemy. So we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us oppressing the others, especially when it comes to oppressing the believers. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in the other narration, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-qillati wal-faqri wal-zilla wa'udhu bika an azlima aw uzlam. And this is the same thing. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from having little and from poverty and from humiliation, and I seek refuge in you from oppressing others and having others to oppress me. The next chapter is Al-Isti'aza min sharri fitnat al-qabr, seeking Allah's protection from the evil of the fitna of the grave, from the evil of the trials of the grave. And this is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, qalat, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يدعو بهؤلاء الكلمات كثيرا ما يدعو بهؤلاء الكلمات اللهم إني أعوذ بك من فتنة النار ومن عذاب النار ومن فتنة القبر وعذاب القبر وشر فتنة المسيح الدجال وشر فتنة الفقر وشر فتنة الغنى اللهم اغسل خطاياي بماء الثلج والبرد وانق قلبي من الخطايا كما انقيت الثوب الابيض من الدنس وباعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم اني اعوذ بك من الكسل والهرم والمأتم والمغرم. And this is authentic, and also collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. Where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua with these words very often. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the trials of the hellfire, and from the punishment of the hellfire, and from the trials of the grave, and from the punishment of the grave, and from the evil of the trials of the Masih al-Dajjal, and from the evil of the trials of poverty, and from the evil of the trials of wealth. Oh Allah, cleanse me from my sins with cold water and ice, and to purify my heart from the sins as you have purified a white soul from any signs of dirt, and to keep me away from my sins the distance of the east and the west. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from laziness and from going senile and from sins and from being in debt. Hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who used to make this dua very often, as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nari wa azabin nar wa fitnatil qabri wa azabil qabri wa sharri fitnatil masih al-dajjal wa sharri fitnatil faqri wa sharri fitnatil ghina Allahumma fil khataya bima'il thalji wal baradi وأنقي قلبي من الخطايا كما أنقيت الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وباعد بيني وبين خطايا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل والهرم والمأثم والمغرب. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the fitna of the fire and from the punishment of the fire. From the fitna of the fire is to be questioned by the guardians of the hellfire. Didn't a warner come to you, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't a warner didn't a prophet or a messenger come to you and call you to this truth and tell you if you didn't follow it that this would be your punishment? This is what we're seeking refuge from, having the angels who are guardians over the hellfire just question us. And this man, man nabiyyu, who's your Lord? Allah. What's your deen, your religion, your way of life? Al-Islam. Who's your prophet? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These questions, we seek refuge in Allah from the trial of these questions. You can imagine these disbelievers blindly wandering on, they're in their graves, and their questions, who's their Lord? And they say, huh? Huh? What's your deen? Huh? Huh? Who's your prophet? Huh? Huh? Michael Jackson or something. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fitna of these questions, and this is not to know the answer of these questions. And it's important for us to learn for ourselves and to teach our wives and our children the answers to these three important questions. Man rabbuk, ma deenuk, wa man nabiyuk. Ma rabbuk, Allah. Ma deenuk, al-Islam. Ma nabiyuk, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So we seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of the grave, and that's not being able to handle these questions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen the believers in their grave with the statement of La ilaha illallah and the ability to answer these questions. And we seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the grave. The actual punishment in the grave that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about in many authentic hadith, that not only do we seek refuge in Allah from the questioning, but we seek refuge in Allah from the actual punishment that will take place after that. And then we seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal, who is going to come back, who is going to come to the earth and be a fitna for humanity. And we seek refuge from the evil of the trials and the test of poverty. And the ulama, they explain that this poverty, we seek refuge in Allah from the trials of poverty. Some people are poor and they're happy because they're pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people, they're poor, they're sad, ungrateful, not satisfied. It leads them to a life of crime, stealing, drinking, hanging out, partying, wasting their time. All of the evil things that you could do because of being poor, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. Except Islam. Except Islam, I gotta get a job. My girl about to have a baby, getting high every week, this, that. He can't even think about Islam because of his state of poverty. When we seek refuge in Allah from being in a state of poverty that would keep us from worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be worshipped, and this is from the evil of the trials of poverty, that she could be so poor that she can't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be worshipped, and this is from the evil of the test of poverty, and from the evil of the test of being rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with wealth, all you do is buy a haram house, you buy a haram car, you buy haram clothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with wealth, you don't give it fi sabilillah. You don't give out any charity. You don't help the poor and the needy. You don't help the orphans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with wealth and you're ungrateful, unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't praise him for blessing you with that which he has blessed you with from this wealth. And we seek refuge in Allah from this wealth, as all of us probably used to be dreaming, if not making dua, that we get $1 million of what we're going to do with it when we get that $1 million. We'd probably be doing the same thing these people got these $1 million. And I think that many of us know, as we came out of the ghettos of America and we saw some of our friends or whoever make it big with these sports, and they got all of that money, and it just led them to a life of corruption? Did it lead them to a life of submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or did it lead them to a life of disobedience and disbelief? Extravagance and wasting of money. So we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of the trials of being wealthy. And don't think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a lot of wealth, that you're going to do so much good. Because Allah has blessed other people with the wealth, and we can see how much good that they're doing. Just as the brother was saying, how many people come into the masjid and they can see at the entrance that the road has got real dirty over last winter when there was a lot of snow, and that you can imagine someone who has the money, as we see a lot of nice cars, to just come in and say, Subhanallah, what happened to the road? Go get a new road. Go get a new world for the masjid. People have the ability to do that. And don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't give you the wealth to have the ability to do that. And then you do the same thing that the person did before you. Some of the children of some of the single parents and others who don't have the ability to send their children to the Muslim school because they don't have the money. Some people, they have the money to send other people's children to school. Maybe a person who doesn't have his own children, what he can say, is there anybody in the community who is needy, a sister, she wants to send her children to the Muslim school, that can pay for her to send her children to the Muslim school? You think people don't have the money to do that? People have the money to do that like it ain't no thing. But they take their money and they just look in the newspaper or go through the mall and see what they can spend their money on. And don't think that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you more money, that you wouldn't do the same thing that those other people are doing. Believe me, you can blow your money, or you can use your money for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, O Allah, clean me of my sins with ice, water, and cold water. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and oftentimes he uses this dua where he's asking Allah to cleanse him of his sins with cold water. And this type of expression is showing to really cleanse him of his sins all the way, as the Prophet ﷺ is saying in the other example, and purify my heart and clean my heart from sins, as just as a white stove has been cleaned from any dirt or any spots that's been on it. And keep my sins away from me as the distance of the east and the west, like China and America, for example. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep these sins away from him. And it's important for the believer to make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep sin away from him. Because we know, as we were the people of sin in the days of Jahiliyyah, we know that sometimes it's hard to shake that stuff. It's hard for an individual to take those sins he used to be into before he accepted Islam. And this is why we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ask Allah to keep us away from those sins. Because if Allah keeps you away from those sins, you have no problem. As some of the one of the brothers was asking one of the brothers, Akhi, how in the world could you have listened to so much music and then you don't listen to any music anymore? He said, I ask Allah, O Allah, remove me from my sins. And Allah answered that dua. It's amazing that I'm more happier than I used to be with that crazy music, and I don't listen to it anymore. Walhamdulillah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua and keeps you away from your sins, then you'll be okay. But don't be like the people who have only been given ignorance as an intellect, and they say, I'm weak. Akhi, leave that sin alone, I'm weak. You should say, Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, keep me away from that sin. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the strength to leave that sin. Don't sit around talking about you weak. Yeah, I'm going to leave it, inshallah, inshallah. Just lying on Allah. Say, Astaghfirullah. Say, Oh Allah, remove me from this sin. Ya mufarrik al-qulub, sarrif qulubi. قلبي عن طاعتك O Allah, the one who changes the heart, change my heart to obedience to you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes your heart to obedience to him, you find it easy to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see it all the day, every day, alhamdulillah, we see people in the masjid every day. And all of us, we had our problems before Islam, and we see, alhamdulillah, people have left that jahiliyyah. They have left those sins, and they don't have no problem. People sinning every single day, now people have left all of that stuff. And they don't even think about it. They don't even have the desire to go back in it. They just remember it every now and then and just laugh. Man, how could I have been that stupid? How could I have let myself get that bad? How could I have been so far away from my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. And this is why we have chosen this chapter, al-isti'adha, or seeking the help of Allah, or the protection of Allah, or refuge in Allah from these things. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and saves us and keeps us away from these things, then there's nothing to worry about. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you away from fornication and adultery, and allows you to use your private parts in a manner that is permissible to him subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing to worry about after that. You can't even imagine going back to that which you used to be into. So this is from the du'a of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he's saying it in three different ways, as those things are hard to take. And nobody has to convince the next man of how hard some of the sins are to shake, as we've been shaking them and still trying to shake them every day. And this is why the Prophet is saying in three ways. O Allah, cleanse me from my sins. O Allah, make my heart clean from sins like a white soul is clean from dirt. O Allah, keep the sins away from me like the distance of the east and the west. Like Allah Ta'ala said, China away from us. Keep our sins that far away from us so that we don't indulge in them. And then the Prophet ﷺ ended it off with, O Allah, I suggest you in you from being lazy and from becoming senile and being a sinner and being in debt. And all of these things have come past before. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings, Babul Isti'adha Min Al-Ju'a, chapter is seeking Allah's protection from hunger. Seeking Allah's protection from hunger. And this is from the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجوع فإنه بئس الضجيع وأعوذ بك من الخيانة فإنها بئس البطانة اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الجوع فإنه بئس الضجيع وأعوذ بك من الخيانة فإنها بئس البطانة. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from hunger, because indeed it is the worst sleeping partner. And O Allah, I seek refuge in you from being disloyal, as it is the worst type of clothing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I seek refuge in Allah from hunger because it's the worst sleeping partner. Imagine instead of going to bed with your wife, you go to bed with hunger. Your stomach hurting because you're hungry. This is the worst person to sleep with, being hungry at night, because you don't have that which is sufficient for yourself. And we know about hunger, as they used to show on TV. I don't know if they still do. All of these commercials about sending your money to all of these hungry people. You could imagine yourself being one of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved you from being there. As nobody had the choice to say, I wanted to be created in North New Jersey. I wanted to be created in Hollywood. I wanted to be created in Bel Air somewhere. I wanted to be the son of a wealthy man. Did you have the choice? Nobody had the choice to say, oh, I wanted to be born. Let me see. I think that my mother and father are going to get married and have a child, and I'm going to be that child. Let me be born in China. Nobody has this choice. Let me be born in Ethiopia. So we have to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this poverty. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, that we be among the hunger, then who is the one that's going to feed you if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you hungry? And that this is the worst sleeping partner to have, is this type of hunger. And the ulama add that the Messenger of Allah sallam is seeking refuge in Allah from this hunger, because sometimes hunger could distract you from your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can imagine your stomach, you're just looking for a meal. How are you going to remember to go to the masjid? How are you going to remember to say, La ilaha illallah, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim? You can't remember Allah, you can think about like the brother, I got to get a job. I got to get something to eat. You see some of the people, they're begging on the street. I get a nickel, accept Islam. I'm just so hungry. I just want to eat something, that's all. You can't even explain Islam to him, because he just got to eat something. And I remember one of the people on Main Street was just asking me, listen, I listen to whatever you have to say, just please, just let me eat something first. You don't have to put no money in my hand. Take me to that store right there and just buy me something to eat. And when I finish, just talk to me about whatever you want so I listen. But right now I can't do nothing but put something in my stomach. You can imagine being in the state that that person is in. And we have to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being in that state of hunger where nothing could benefit you except filling your stomach up. We have to seek refuge in Allah because our purpose in life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge in Allah from anything that would prevent us from fulfilling our purpose in life by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said, I seek refuge in Allah from being disloyal because it's the worst type of clothing. And here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, teaching us, that this being disloyal, if you are, it's going to be a part of you just like your clothing. You're going to be known as that's the brother who's disloyal. That brother right there don't trust him with nothing. That brother right there, you can't count on him. He won't do nothing for you. And every time everybody sees him, everybody's going to know him like that. If you are disloyal, you can't hide it. Because all you have to do is interact with somebody, and he's going to find out that you're disloyal. It's the type of clothing that you wear that is with you, and you can't let it go. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being disloyal. Oh Allah, you know I hate this reason. You know it ain't no good for me. You know I accepted Islam. Oh Allah, keep me away from it. But before you get actually able to shake it, you can still hide. You can come to Masjid when you're not high. You can wait till after Isha, get high, go to sleep early. Wake up, inshallah, you'll be better. After Fajr, you have a long time before Dhuhr. And it's something you could do and nobody would know. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep this from the people. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this sin from you. But if you're disloyal, if you're disloyal, nobody can trust you. Nobody can count on you. You're not down with nothing. You can't hide that. Because everybody will see it, it's on you. And it's just a matter of time before everyone will know so-and-so, he ain't down with nothing. He's this way and that way. Come and go. And this is the evil characteristic to have as a part of it, as this thing is hard to hide from the people, because it's a part of interacting with the people. And for this, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told us, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ju' fa innahu bi'sa al-baji'. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ فَإِنَّهُ بِئْسَةِ الْبِقَانَةِ. And the next chapter, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says the exact same hadith as Imam al-Nasa'i brings بَابُ الْإِسْتِعَاذَ مِنَ الْخِيَانَةِ, chapter seeking Allah's protection from being disloyal. And the first chapter was the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from hunger. Here I just wanted to point out that Imam al-Nasa'i, he does this often and I don't mention it, that the hadith, Allah's Messenger sallam, may be seeking refuge in Allah from four things. The Prophet sallam used to make dua with these words, O Allah, indeed I seek your protection from being overcome by death, and from being overcome by my enemies, and from having my enemies to be happy with something going wrong with me, or with me having a problem. Here the Messenger of Allah is seeking refuge in Allah from being overcome by death. And we can see here in this country, as probably nobody else in the world knows what it's like to be in debt so much, as they probably have all kind of commercials and bumper stickers about, are you in debt? You can do such and such. Because if when they make that question, are you in debt, you know, almost the whole America is saying yes. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being overcome by debt. And this seeking refuge in Allah from being overcome by debt is also asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us satisfied with our condition. You have one pair of shoes for the whole year. You just be happy. You don't need to borrow any money to get another pair of shoes. That you're happy with that one pair of shoes. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with more money, that you can buy two pairs of shoes, then you'll buy another pair. But you won't have to get in debt to buy you another pair of shoes. Or to be, like they say, to take this credit, and it's the same thing as being in debt. I want those shoes. You got the money? No, I don't have the money. I'll pay you the money. Give me a payment plan. We can't even be satisfied with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us with. We got a pair of shoes on our feet, and we're trying to make a deal to get in credit for another pair, and we might not even be able to pay it. And then we're going to be ducking the person, lying, breaking our promises, because we overcome by this debt. And we suggest even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being overcome by this debt. And every time we seek refuge in Allah from this, it would discourage us from becoming in debt, inshallah ta'ala. And the Prophet asked us to seek refuge in Allah by being overcome or overpowered by our enemies. As we heard recently, some death threats have been made on the Muslims. And as you can imagine, here in America, they send a death threat to the masjid, to the school, or what have you. That this is a terrible state to be in. That people can send you a death threat, what you gonna do? They send us a death threat to the masjid, to the school, to somebody else's masjid. What are the Muslims gonna do? Who are you gonna fight? Who are you gonna attack? It's just overcome by your enemy. Suppose the enemy is just the government. They send the death threat. Listen, we want everybody out of the masjid. And if not, we send in the National Guard. We seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being overcome and overpowered by our enemy. And that this overcoming and overpowering by our enemy is only because we left Islam. As you saw from the Messenger of Allah, from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they have conquered everybody and that everybody was afraid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that he has been given something that no prophet was given before him, and that was that the enemy was afraid of the Messenger and his army for a month's journey. That means, we're looking at that time of that transportation, that in a month's time, you could be at a certain place, there would be shaking, just for the thought that the Prophet could reach us in 1 month, they're afraid. This is what the Prophet was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was the state of the believers. And we're reading this book, Sahih Sunan al-Nasa'i, al-Nisa, from Nasa is one of the cities. And we know the word Nisa in Arabic, it means women in English. And this man, al-Nasa'i, who we're reading from his book, he's from the city. Al-Nasa'i means he's from the city of Nasa. Like al-Bukhari means he's from the city of Bukhara. Khatib al-Baghdadi means he's from Baghdad. They say they call it the women, they call it Nisa, because when the Muslim army got there, they didn't find nobody but women. No men to fight, the men book. Because they knew the Muslim army was coming. The Muslim army was coming to give you a chance to accept Islam, not to just fight, but they were just so afraid. And they said that this had happened too, also in a few of the villages of Egypt, as the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, when they were conquering Egypt, they got to some cities, nobody was in the whole city. Just houses and stuff left. Everybody gone. The Muslims are on their way, they'll be here in 30 days. Let's get out of here. This is from the success of worshiping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped. And we know that they can give us a 30-day notice to move and we be out of it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the protection from being overpowered from our enemies. From the samatatil a'da, or the enemy's happiness over that which befalls us. And anything bad happens to the Muslims, the people laugh. Ha ha ha, I see they locked up your sheikh. Ha 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 ha, I see they killing all the Muslims in Bosnia. You gonna go help your brothers? They're your brothers, right? Yeah, yeah, how can you go to work and you have a discussion? I heard about the ethnic cleansing in Trinidad, where the Trinidadian government said it's time for ethnic cleansing of our country. That means any lady that you see with a khimar on, rape her so she can have a calf or baby, so that we can cleanse our society from the Muslim ethnic group. How would you feel if someone said, those Muslims that they were talking about in Trinidad, they're your brothers and sisters in your religion, right? You want to help them? And imagine how humiliated you feel from the happiness of your enemy over what has befallen you, what has befallen the Muslims. So you should refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this state, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, Allahumma إني أعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وغلبة العدو وشماتة الأعداء. In the next chapter, باب الاستعاذة من الضلال. In the chapter we seek Allah's protection from deviance. We seek Allah's protection from going astray. And it brings the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا خرج من بيته قال بسم الله ربي أعوذ بك من أن أزل أو أضل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. بسم الله ربي أعوذ بك من أن أزل أو أضل أو أضل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say when he left his house, in the name of Allah, my Lord, I seek refuge in you, I seek your protection from making mistakes, from going astray, from oppressing others, and from having others oppress me, from being ignorant and from having others being ignorant with me. This is from the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when he left his house, that he would seek refuge in Allah from these things. And it's important ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me always seek his protection from making a mistake, that we seek refuge in Allah from even making mistakes. As we're human beings, and all of the human beings are going to make mistakes, and the best of the ones who make mistakes are the ones who repent after their mistakes. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from even making mistakes. And this is from the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of course from going astray. Especially in these times where people are going astray left and right. People are going to say the truth of Islam, alhamdulillah, has come to us. We've accepted Islam. The people are accepting Islam every day, alhamdulillah. But on top of that, you see the Muslims going astray. If a Muslim is tested with something in his life that he dislikes, you find it's easy for the Muslim to go astray. Akhi, I haven't seen you in the masjid. Yeah, you know, I lost my job. Any little trial that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests somebody with, first thing, he don't want to go to the masjid. He don't want to worship his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to seek refuge in Allah from going astray. I see, I haven't seen you at the masjid. Yeah, you know, one of them brothers there, I don't like him talking to me. Because you don't like a brother talking to you, you're going to start worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to seek refuge in Allah from going astray. Every time something happens, we don't like it, we're not going to go to the masjid, we're not going to give any more charity, we're not going to do those acts of obedience to Allah that we've been commanded to do just because something had happened to us. And this is why we should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, seeking refuge in Allah from going astray. And the Prophet added on this one, after he said, from oppressing others and having others oppressing me, from being ignorant and having other people to be ignorant with you. That we seek refuge in Allah from being among the ignorant. We seek refuge in Allah from being among the ignorant, because if you're ignorant, you can do anything. Akhi, why are you standing upside down in your head? Why are you walking on your face upside down? Because I'm stupid. Because I'm ignorant. And if we don't seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being among the ignorant, we could even do something as stupid as that. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Mulk, describing the disbelievers, as he says, أَفَمَنْ يَمْشِي مُكِبًّا عَلَى وَجْهِهِ أَهْدَى أَمَّنْ يَمْشِي سَوِيًّا عَلَى صِرَاطِهِ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah said, is the one who's walking upside down on his face more guided, or the person who's standing straight up, righteous, following the Siratul Mustaqim? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example of those disbelievers as they're living their lives as if they're walking upside down on their face. They don't know where they're going except down to the hellfire. So we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being among the ignorant, as this ignorance can lead us to all types of sins and disbelief and shirk and eventually to the hellfire. And we seek refuge in Allah from people being ignorant with us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he teaches us, when the ignorant come to us, just say salam. The ignorant come to you, just say salamu alaikum. This is the ignorant Muslim to say come to you. The ignorant disbeliever, just turn away from that ignorance. We just turn away from that ignorance. And this is from the dua of the Messenger of Allah sallam, Bismillah Rabbi, A'udhu bika min an azilla aw udilla aw azlima aw ujlama aw ajhala aw yujhala alayya. The next chapter that the Shaykh brings is Babu Isti'adha min al-Haram, or the chapter of seeking refuge in Allah from going senile. And it brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Qal radiallahu anhu, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الكسل والهرم والمغرم والمأثم وأعوذ بك من شر المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من عذاب النار. And all of these have come previously. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from being lazy and from being senile and from being in debt and from being a sinner and from for the sins that stem from being in debt. And we seek refuge in you from the evil of the Masih al-Dajjal. And we seek refuge in you from the punishment of the grave. And we seek refuge in you from the punishment of the hellfire. In the next chapter, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he brings Babul Isti'adhatu min su'il qada, seeking refuge in Allah from evil and evil outcome. An Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yata'awwadhu min hadhihi thalatha, min darati ash-shiqa وشماتة الأعداء وسوء القضاء وجهد البلاء. قال سفيان هو ثلاثة فذكرت أربع لأني لا أحفظ الواحد الذي ليس فيه. في أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to seek refuge in Allah from these three, from the reason that would lead to destruction. from the enemy making fun at the misfortune that befalls us, from evil consequences, and from a hard time. Sufyan, one of the narrators in the chain, he says, there are three things, but I mention four. That is because there is one thing mentioned that's not among them. He mentioned four because he doesn't remember which one of the four doesn't belong there, so he mentioned all of them. And this is from the truthfulness and the sincerity of the scholars of Hadith, that everything they mention, they make it clear to the people so no one would understand anything other than the truth. And this happens with some of the Hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It may get to a particular scholar and he may forget part of that Hadith or whatever, and what would happen as it happened in this Hadith. So here we see that nothing is lost from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, because out of these four, there are three things that the Prophet sought refuge in Allah from. And so long as we say all four of them, we will be sure to have gotten those three that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and this is the truthfulness of the statement of Allah, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidun. Indeed, we are the ones who sent down the dhikr, the revelation of the Quran and the Sunnah, and indeed, we are the ones who preserve it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have preserved everything from the Quran and everything from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to this deen. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge in Allah from the reason or the things that will lead to a person's destruction. And of course, that destruction is not only in this world, but in the hereafter. And here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he does, he doesn't mention anything specific, but he's mentioning it in general. So you could think about anything that if you did that, it would lead to your destruction, that you seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from getting involved in anything, that the outcome would be your destruction. For example, getting married to a man that's not going to provide for you. You didn't know that you were going to marry this no good man. You weren't seeking refuge in Allah from the reasons of your destruction. So you marry a no good man and you're disobedient to him, and your disobedience to your husband will lead you to the hellfire. You have to seek refuge in Allah, and this is just an example of any example that anyone could give from the things that could lead him to destruction in this world or destruction in the hereafter, and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to seek refuge in Allah from anything and everything that would lead to our destruction in this world or the hereafter, to seek refuge in Allah from that thing. And then from the shamatat al-a'da, or from the enemy being happy with those things that befall us, we seek refuge in Allah from that, as we mentioned, and we seek refuge in Allah from evil consequences, that anything that would happen bad, we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that. All of us, we may have to get a new job, we have to get a new wife, we go into a new business venture, whatever we do, we are seeking refuge in Allah from the evil outcome of that thing that we're getting involved in. And the biggest thing is our lives. That we're seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from dying on kufr. And that this is the worst outcome of anybody's life, is to die in a state of kufr. We seek refuge in Allah from dying in a state of kufr. And we seek refuge in Allah from hard times in general. As you know, these hard times can drive a man or a lady to do anything. And that you can imagine how far you can go off from hard times. All you have to do is ask the people who have been driven crazy because of their hard times. As we see many of the homeless, they used to be functioning in society, and something happened, they were hit with hard times, and now they just walk the streets, they can't do anything. So here the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is seeking refuge anything that could lead to our destruction in this world and the hereafter, or from our enemy being happy with the bad things that happen to us, or from evil consequences, or from hard times. This is what we wanted to offer today. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.